invigorate the soul, uplift the heart, and steer in the right direction. Ancient Tales of Wisdom on the SOH Radio Network. Hello, I'm Patrick from the SOH Network, and today's Ancient Tales of Wisdom story is The Creation of the Earth and the Great Flood, according to Greek and Roman mythology. Before there was earth, or sea, or heaven, there existed only chaos. Shapeless, unorganized, lifeless matter. There was no sun, no moon, and no air. Elements existed, but they had neither form nor character. The earth was without firmness, the water without fluidity, and the sky without light. There was opposition in all things. Hot conflicted with cold, wet with dry, heavy with light, and hard with soft. Finally, a god, a natural high force, resolved this conflict, separating earth from heaven, parting the dry land from the waters, and dividing the clear air from the clouds, thus organizing all things into a balanced union. In the higher sphere, he made a heavenly vault of weightlessness and unattained ether. The next lower region, he filled with air, light but not without substance. Then came the heavy earth, which sank down under its own weight and was encircled by the sea. Thus did the god, whichever god it was, set order to the chaotic mass by separating it into its components, then organizing them into a harmonious whole. Then the god shaped the earth into a great ball and caused the seas to spread in one direction and the other. He created springs, pools and lakes, and form rivers, causing them to flow toward the seas. He flattened out the plains, caused valleys to sink down, and pushed up mountains from the level places. The earth was organized into five zones, the same number that exists in heaven, which is divided into two regions on the right, two on the left, and one in the center. On earth, the middle zone is too hot for habitation, and the two outer zones are too cold. But between these two extremes, the god created two temperate zones where heat and cold are balanced. Beneath the ether and above the earth hangs the air, where the gods form mist and clouds, placing thunderbolts within the clouds. To each of the four winds, he assigned limits and purpose. He caused the stars, which heretofore had been veiled in darkness, to shine forth across the sky. The waters he filled with fishes, the earth with wild animals, and the air with birds. But none of these creatures approached the gods in intelligence. None could rightly be called master over all the others. Then man was born. Either the god who had created this better earth made man from divine seed, or Prometheus molded an image of the gods from a clump of earth that had been newly separated from the ether and thus still retained some divine qualities. Whoever created man, this new being, was made to stand erect with his eyes directed toward heaven and the stars. And like the other animals, who hang their heads and gaze toward the ground. The first age of man was a golden age, during which men did what was right, without laws, and without the threat of punishment. No one strayed far from home. Everyone lived at peace with his neighbours. And the earth itself gave up its fruits without cultivation or labour. Berries, fruits, grains, and flowers abounded, although the land remained untiled. Rivers flowed with milk and nectar, and honey dripped from the trees. Springtime was the only season. When Saturn lost his rule to Jove, this golden age on Earth gave way to a silver age. Jove, the sky god, shortened springtime and added the seasons of summer, fall, and winter. The earth now yielded its bounty of grain only from ploughed fields, made fruitful by the labour of man and beast. Then came the age of bronze. Just as bronze is harder than silver, men were now more disposed toward warfare than heretofore. Finally came an age of iron, a metal baser and harder than gold, silver or bronze. Now the natural virtues of man gave way to baser, harsher qualities. Modesty, truth and loyalty were replaced by treachery, deceit and greed. Sailors now traversed the seas, seeking in new lands and powers. Men sought wealth in foreign places, from beneath the earth. Wealth that in turn became the cause of much wickedness and suffering. Friend betrayed friend, and relative turned against relative. The conflict on earth threatened even heaven. Legends tell of how at that time, giants attempted an attack on the realm of the gods by piling mountains together to reach the sky. Jove defended his heavenly kingdom with a mighty thunderbolt, which destroyed the tower of mountains, crushing the giants beneath it as it fell. Torrents of blood flowed forth from their bodies and drenched the earth. It is said that from this blood-soaked earth was born a new breed of men, who, like the giant forebearers, had no respect for the gods. Looking down from his kingdom in the sky, Jove saw that humankind was now hopelessly violent and cruel. He called together his council, and they came to him forthwith, travelling that famous bright path across heaven's vault, the Milky Way. Jove angrily demanded that the utterly corrupt human race be destroyed, promising that afterward he himself would supervise the creation of a new stock of men. The gods sadly agreed that only this extreme act would solve the threat of mankind's wickedness. Jove was about to strike the earth with a barrage of thunderbolts when he realized that the conflagration caused by such an attack might threaten heaven itself. So he resolved to destroy the earth's inhabitants by water instead of by fiery lightning. To this end he fettered the north wind, then charged the south wind to bring forth endless rains. Jove's brother Neptune, god of the seas, caused the tides and the waves to rise up upon the land and the rivers to overflow their banks. Man and beast alike fell prey to the ever-rising flood. Orchards and planted fields were washed away. Houses and other buildings were either demolished by the crushing waves or submerged beneath a sea that had no shores. Not even the temples and sacred images were spared. The birds themselves, their wings finally tiring from continuous flight, in the end were forced to surrender to the watery graves. In the end, only one place on earth remained above water, the twin summits of Mount Parnassus. It was here that a small boat carrying Deucalion and his wife Pyrrha ran aground. They alone had survived the great deluge. When Jove saw that only one man and woman was still alive on earth, and that this husband and wife were virtuous people, both true worshippers, he released the north wind and caused it to dissipate the storms and clouds. Then Neptune called upon Triton to recall the tides and waves with a signal from his conchy shell trumpet. The earth was now restored, but lifeless, desolate, and empty. Deucalion and Pyrrha, seeing that they were the only living beings left on earth, sought guidance by going together to the waters of Cepheus, but which again flowing in the usual channel. They sprinkled themselves with this holy water, then entered the temple and asked for assistance. The answer came through an oracle that they should leave the temple and scatter behind them their mother's bones. Deucalion could not believe his ears, and Pyrrha stated aloud that she would never dishonour her mother's spirit by thus distributing her bones. Deucalion, however, thought that the words of the oracle were not to be taken literally, that the mother mentioned was not a human mother, but rather Mother Earth, and that the bones to be scattered were stones from the earth's body. Deciding to put this interpretation to the test, Deucalion and Pyrrha scattered behind them stones from the earth. No one would believe what happened afterward if it were not for the testimony of ancient legends. The stones were thrown to the ground, lost their hardness, and assumed human forms. Those scattered by Deucalion became male, and those scattered by Pyrrha became female. And thus the earth was repopulated. And through the natural process of warmth and moisture, and earth reacting with one another, the lower animals were reborn as well. Yes, fire and water are opposites, but moisture heat is the source of all living things. Creation comes about through the resolution of opposing forces. I would like to thank the creation team here at SOH for the creation of Ancient Tales of Wisdom. I would also like to credit today's story, D.L. Ashleman's website, abstracted from the Metamorphosis of Ovid, translated by Mary M. Innes. So from the team here at SOH, thanks for your company, and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Ancient Tales of Wisdom. We here at SOH hope we will see you for our next installment on the SOH Radio Network.